about them. No wife, no kids, just reeling them fish and twisting them lids. Got a good one on, that's my kind of fun. No time for talking, cause I gotta run. When you get tired of what your life's been dishing, just think of that saying, I'd rather be fishing. A bad day.
Welcome to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and we have the Grizz from our studio out of La Paz. Grizz just recently came back just in time. He enjoyed Thanksgiving, I believe, and Cabo San Lucas.
Yes, I did.
And you stayed at a very exclusive high-end condominium, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I did, John, and I made it even better by cooking there.
Well, what we're talking about is that I fortunately have a condo in Cabo, and you know, Grizz likes to take a vacation once in a while from La Paz, where he can go up and hang out by the pool and bring his family up and do some fishing. Not like there's nothing to not to do in La Paz. But Grizz, we have a very special guest, a very dear friend of yours and mine, the beautiful Ana Gloria Davis from the Oasis Hotel in Loreto.
How you doing, guys? Mike, John, happy late Thanksgiving.
Oh, thank you very, very much. And Ana, it really is a pleasure, and I'm looking forward to come down and seeing you next May.
Oh, I just can't wait. I think we're going to all have a blast over here.
Yes.
You know what, Mike?
What, dear?
You should have spent Thanksgiving here at the Oasis, because I did cook for my guests. And you haven't tasted my cooking.
Well, Ana, I went to Cabo just Maria, Charlie, and I, and the bald-headed dog, Lorenza, and I cooked cherry ham and cherry dressing and everything, where there was no phones and everything. And just got away. But I would have loved to spend it with you, because you're one of the best cooks in the whole wide world.
That's because you love
but me. But I would have to eat clams again.
Oh, yes. With pumpkin pie, maybe?
You would have clams and stuffing.
Clams and stuffing, yeah. Cheese, maybe, with some chipotle.
Yeah.
Excellent. Very happy to be with both of you guys.
Well, this is a fishing show, but clams are kind of has something to do with
fishing. They live in the ocean, John.
They live in the ocean, so let's talk about clams a little bit.
Okay.
She's an expert on clams. She knows how to cook them every way. And when you go see her, you will eat them every way. Isn't that right, baby?
Yes, that's right. And I, you know what, John? I think that's why we became so good friends, Mike and me, because he fell in love with me when I cooked the clams for him. That's one of our.
I fell in love with you before I ever tasted one of your clams. Well, but don't tell your husband that, because he's a very good friend of mine.
See, no, here in the Sea of Cortez, we have the chocolata clams. We call it chocolate clams because of the color. And it's very tasteful, and it's abundant, and that's our typical dish from Loreto. Mm. That's a tradition. The way we cook it, we do it at the beach in a bed of gravel. And it's a tradition that comes from my great-grandparents.
Well, Ana, the chocolate clams that you're talking about, I've never had them in Loreto, but I have at south of La Paz at Tecolote Beach.
Mm-hmm.
And they take these, they keep the clams in the water, and they're good-sized clams. They're about 4 inches or so across.
See.
And they bring them in, and they open them up, and they take the clam out, chop it up, and then stuff it with vegetables and cheese, put it back together, wrap it in aluminum foil, and put it on the coals.
Yes.
No. Ana Gloria does something 100 times better than that. You haven't had clam until you eat the way she does it. Tell them how you do it.
Of course. Well, the way you were prepared is stuffing clams, and those clams that they serve in La Paz are from the Pacific. They are bigger. Our chocolata clams are darker in color and a little bit smaller. And the way we do it over here Like I said, we prepare it on the beach in a bed of gravel. We put the clams upside down, and we cover the clams with a dry bush called romerillo, and we set a fire. It's a huge fire. It's very beautiful, and it will take 40 minutes for the clam to cook, and the clam will cook in its own juice. And after it's is ready to eat, we take it out, put it in plates, of course, and we make this very special mustard sauce, and we serve it with flour tortillas. And after that, you won't be able to eat clams anywhere else except here, made by us, made by me.
And John, the thing about it is you don't have to pry them open. All you do is just smack them on the table, and they open automatically, and they say, "Eat me."
Yeah, I remember. That's what you said. Yes, Mike, when you were here, when we first met.
Yeah.
John, in May, that's the first thing you're going to taste.
Okay.
You and your friends.
That sounds good to me. Sounds good to me. Now, Anna, you know, you are in Loreto, and this is a fishing program, so we should at least touch on why somebody that's an avid angler would be interested in coming to Loreto.
Well, at this time, our fishing is pretty good. We have yellowtail. In Catalana, they're catching tuna, and yellowtail is from the tuna family. We have the sea bass, and still have the rooster around. Plenty of bait, and still the water very flat. We haven't get any of the Santana winds, which are our north winds, that sometimes have a hard time to fish, but at this time it's still flat and plenty of space to come from Alaska Airlines.
Oh, you know what? By the way, I talked to the group reservations department at Alaska Airlines about a conference we're putting together come down in May, and the girl that I talked to didn't know that Alaska Airlines is increasing their flights in the spring for, I think they go down almost every day in the spring.
Daily. Exactly. Daily. At this time.
Well, I mean, employees at Alaska Airlines didn't even know that. So this is a real scoop.
See, it's just something recently. And we're very happy. Very happy because Loreto is picking up and our anglers can come and visit more people to do other activities here in Loreto to do besides the fishing and visiting the islands.
And eating clams.
Snorkeling or diving. And so we're very happy because then we're going to have more clients.
Yes. Well, obviously, we'd recommend that they check in with the Oasis Hotel, but Loreto...
That's where I stay.
your room, Mike.
Yeah. No, Loreto.
Yeah, I have my own room there. One thing I want to talk about fishing real, real fast,
okay,
John.
Okay, fast, fast.
I don't know if you know it. I'm sure that you do, but Loreto is known as the yellowtail capital of the world.
I was just going to bring that up.
Well, I'd beat you to it.
Okay.
No.
Real quickly, though. Anna said that yellowtail is a member of the tuna family. My understanding, it's actually a jack.
Oh, really?
It is a jack, John.
Okay. Sorry, Anna.
Okay. Thank you for correcting me.
But they are, a yellowtail is probably one of the premier sushi-grade fish that you're going to find. You know, it's white meat. It's incredible. And Loreto has to be the capital of yellowtail anywhere. And in the spring, it's a perfect time to go. So now is the time. Get in touch with Alaska Airlines. We're going to have to go here in about 10 seconds. Get in touch with Alaska Airlines. Make your reservations. Call Anna and check in with Fish Talk Radio, and we'll get you set up. Anna, we have to go. Thank you so much. Grizz, you stay right there. You're listening.
But, you're very welcome.
All right. All right.
Bye, girl.
No. Okay. Anna, keep going.
Oh, you can visit the webpage, hoteloasis.com, and make direct reservations.
One more time. Now, what is it?
Hoteloasis.com.
Okay. Anna, you're delightful. Thank you so much.
And beautiful.
Very nice talking to you, both of you.
Okay. Especially me, huh?
Okay. Especially you beautiful Grizz. Hang on. We'll be right back. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio.
West Marine is America's favorite boating supply source. They've got thousands of items to keep your boat looking good and running like new. West Marine has an incredible selection of apparel and footwear for all your adventures on land and sea. Boats, motors, screws, fittings, the latest electronics, fishing gear, apparel, and friendly, knowledgeable staff. With locations nationwide, West Marine has all you need for fun on the water. Call 1-800-BOATING or log on to westmarine.com to locate the store nearest you. World-class golf, fishing, and diving in the clear, warm waters of the Sea of Cortez with a true five-star resort. The Grand Heritage Hotel and Resort at Costa Baja, great value and without the hustle of other parts of Baja. On the white sand beach with Espiritu Santos Island minutes away. Signature restaurants, pools, and accommodations for an intimate weekend, weddings, or corporate events. On the web at CostaBajaResort.com.
Please, I'd rather be fishing. Yeah. I'd rather be fishing.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, along with our co-host, a little bit south of us by way of telephone transmission. We have Get the Grizz. And a little bit north of us, we have Tom Matouche from the Hooli Cat out of Half Moon Bay. So let's kind of get an idea what's going on up and down the California coast. You know, we just got off the phone with Ana Gloria from Loreto on the Sea of Cortez and found out about yellowtail and clams. But right now, Tom Matouche, and Tom is the kind of guy that...
You better watch it, Tom.
Well, let's put it this way. Yeah, let's put it
be
this way.
Be careful when he starts hesitating there and said, a kind of guy.
Well, in the area that Tom fishes, the weather is not always good, and the fishing, you know, changes almost every month or so, and along with the weather. But Tom has the ability, if you want to get on the Hooli Cat, which he operates and drives, no matter what time of the year it is, he'll take you out and he's going to catch you something. And hopefully, Tom, I might even see you in the next couple of days. I haven't figured out yet, but I would love to get into some of those Dungeness crab that you've been doing.
That doesn't sound very good. Get a guy to take you out to catch crabs, John. My mom talked about that. I'll leave that a go because we're right after Thanksgiving. Tell us about catching Dungeness crabs there, Tommy boy.
Well, you know, it's the whole thing. When we were younger, we were trying to avoid catching the crabs.
Yeah, anyway. I still am.
All right, you guys. This is a family show. Yeah,
we're talking all right.
I don't know what you're talking about, but let's keep it
that way, John. Day.
Okay.
So, how do you catch? Are you trapping those Dungeness crabs?
Yeah, we put out our traps in November, and then every time we've got four different strings, so we go out to different areas, different depths. We know where we've been before, and we know where to take people to have a good time. The rock fishing's been good. You just talked about yellowtail from Laredo. Well, we're getting the yellowtail rockfish, nice blues, some blacks. Today, included so far, the guys have some coppers and some brownies. It's shaping up to be another real good day on the boat. We've had good weather. Things are just looking up in Half Moon Bay. It's a great time to be coming out visiting. And there's a little place in the harbor. If you don't want to cook your own, they'll cook, crack, and clean your crab, $2.50 a piece. So you're going home with a big sack of Dungeness crab, and your next biggest problem is, how do I invite all the neighbors over now to help me eat all this crab? I've got a big sack of fresh crab.
Wow.
It's a good problem to have.
I'll tell you what, Tom. It's been a little bit of a time since I went up there and visited you, and you pulled some crabs and took it over to your house and put it in a steamer, and then you showed how to pull the carpal off and pull it out. And man, there is nothing better. I mean, king crabs are good. You know, there's a lot of seafood. Lobster is good, but a fresh Dungeness crab has got to be the sweetest meat that comes from the ocean.
I like them, but I'm so lazy to clean them.
Well, you don't have any down there, Grizz.
Mark will do it for you.
I know, but I've fished for them from before, John.
But
are they hard to get the meat out?
Well, again,
You're going to have to talk a little louder. I can't hear you, Tom.
Hey, we got to get you up here to fish for them again. I don't know why you say you fished for them before. Got to fish for them now. Dozens of crab are doing great now. Yeah. The fishing's doing
great. How cold is it there, Tom?
First.
What's the temperature?
Today, I'd say we're about 67 degrees.
Now, I'm 85 in shorts and flip-flops.
Yeah. Now, Tom, I'm assuming that that you're on your cell phone. I'm assuming you're out on the water right now. It sounds like you are.
Yes, we are.
Okay. Fact, all right. Well, we're got live reports from the water.
So what do? You go and put the traps out, then you go fishing for one, and you come back and check for them? Is that what you're doing?
No, I put my pots go out in November, and they don't come in until April or May. Sometimes they don't come in until June. It depends on the fishery. So each time we pull a pot, we simply change the bait. They're just waiting for us. They're out there soaking so that when the customers get up there, we like to say, guess how many are going to be in the pot? How many in this pot? And every time a pot comes up, you're guessing, is there going to be 5, 10, 20, 30 crabs in the pot? It's a lot of fun and gets people involved.
Wow, that's my kind of fishing.
What do you use for bait?
Squid, market squid primarily, and then when we're rock fishing, when the people are having their fish cleaned, we use the carcasses, and that's called hang bait. We have a great big bobby pin looking thing, and we stick one or two carcasses on there, and it just adds some extra flavor and enticement for the crabs. They come in, and it's either the squid, sometimes we'll have fish, different parts, you can leave something too long in your freezer. I can't tell you the number of different things that have gone into those crab pots.
Now, we're going to change the subject in a minute or so, but let's keep on the Dungeness crab. So when you go out and you catch them, as soon as when you have a live crab, you have to cook it immediately, right?
Well, actually, they'll stay, if you catch them and take them home, they're probably going to stay alive for about a day.
Okay.
Just keep them cool. Don't put them in water. They'll breathe the oxygen out of the water, and they'll actually drown. But they're intertidal crustaceans. So if you have them in your cooler, wet burlap sack, maybe a little tiny bit of ice or something, that's more than enough. But they'll make it clear till the next day. Sure, it's best to cook them while they're alive. You can always tell if it died, if it's fresh dead. They taste a tiny bit chalky when you bring them up, but that's not what we're after. We're after the absolute perfect, the crab of all crabs in the world, fresh, live Dungeness crab.
Right. So, you know, whether you cook them as soon as you bring them up or you can hold them for a day or two, but, you know, you can't freeze them and then cook them, or you can't let them die and then cook them.
No. And what you do is cook them first if you don't want to deal with them, and then put them in a... Some people just use the Ziploc. Some people use the seal-a-meals. The little spines on the shell frequently perforate the bag. So if you put them in one, then immediately put it in another one and try and seal-a-meal it twice. And that should pretty much take care of the little spine issue. Mm-hmm. Keep it airtight.
So when if you're going to be... if you're going to keep them or freeze them, do you clean them first and just keep the meat and the claws?
Yeah, I would clean them, but I know some people don't. They just simply cook them and then they take them apart later.
Mm-hmm.
Some cultures would consider it a sacrilege to throw away some of the things that you find in the shell.
Yeah, that yellow stuff.
Drink that. They like to put it in the schipinos. It wouldn't be a schipino if you didn't have that in it.
Well, let's talk about another thing. Where you are is a little bit south of, you know, the Bay Area, and your fishery is, of course, is, you know, it's your area is different than other parts of California because you do have the opportunity a lot of times. You had a good salmon season this year, right?
We had a good salmon season this year, and then also just a little while ago while we were rock fishing, we had a salmon that we had to release. I heard of another boat that had a salmon as well. There's been a tremendous market squid harvest up here. One of the boats got $4 million worth. Another boat got $3 million
worth.
Wait
a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. One boat that was apparently, you know, they put the nets out and they pull in squid, and they got in one boat, they were able to pull in $4 million worth of squid.
Well, that's staying up here for a couple months.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a lot of squid.
That's still a lot of squid. Mm-hmm. Then the other day, we got some very small Humboldt squid while we were rock fishing. We used to go out in 1,000 feet of water to catch these things. We're catching these at 165, 175 feet of water right mm-hmm. on the surface. On a subsequent squid trip, I got a call from a commercial fisherman that said while he was pulling his crab pots, he was seeing Humboldt squid on the surface. And again, these are like the 3 to 5, 7 pound type fish.
Yeah.
We took the anglers out there and roped a few of them.
Well, actually, for Humboldt or the giant squid, that's not very big. Do they fish those commercially?
A fella tried to out of Fort Bragg with limited success. He was going to turn them into crab bait. But I don't know anybody who's pursuing that at this point. It's the same species of squid that gets caught in Baja that's sold. If you've ever gone into a restaurant and asked for the squid sandwich, or you've gotten that massive thick squid,
steaks.
A lot of those mm-hmm. are the same squid that we take care of, so they're totally edible, real good.
Hmm. Now, we also mentioned a little bit earlier, we talked about yellowtail, and you said you've had some of those up there this year?
Well, we have the yellowtail rockfish. Now, during our albacore season, there was a lot of yellowtail that Jack caught,
mm-hmm.
and there was some Dorado. We had an albacore season that went clear into November. Some of the people are still thinking that we might have access to a few. I've had unconfirmed reports of some commercials still taking them out at the 601 along with a few swordfish.
Right.
Right now, the yellowtail we're taking are yellowtail rockfish caught high in the water column along with the blue rockfish.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some widows, some square spot. Had some lovely coppers today, vermilions. Today, we didn't have too many lingcod. Could have been the beginning fishermen. We found the fish coming up with scars on them. Been seeing a lot of hitchhikers.
Well,
with
our Tom, I just got the signal. It looks like we're going to cut you off. But you got Tom Matouche on the Hooli Cat, and was it hoolicat.com?
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Tom. We appreciate that very much. And Grizz, you hang in there. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio.
Vagabundos Del Mar Boat and Travel Club has 42 years experience introducing RVers to the joys of Mexico. Specializing in Baja, Vagabundos leads caravans and sponsors fishing tournaments, trailer boat cruises, and weekend getaways in Mexico and the West. Vagabundos Del Mar also saves its 10,000 members tons of money on low-cost auto insurance. Stay up to date on Mexican travel with the printed newsletter online at vagabundos.com or call 800-474-BAHA.
For more than a century, sport fishermen have led the charge for conservation. From trout to marlin, anglers have worked to protect our natural resources and establish successful programs that benefit fish and fishermen. Today, this legacy is at risk unless we step up and lead the fight for real world conservation. That's what the Sport Fishing Conservancy is all about, doing what's best for fish and fishing and making sure anglers get the credit we deserve. Check out the Sport Fishing Conservancy and find out how you can help at sportcon.org.
Eat, sleep, train, go fishing.
Welcome to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and we have, man, we got all kinds of stuff going on right now. We just got off with Tom Matouche, was out on the Hooli Cat at a Half Moon Bay. We've been talking to Ana Gloria from Loreto, and now we have Mark Lassane from Bass Angler Magazine, and of course, the Grizz, who's down in La Paz. So we got a whole party going on here. Let's start off a little bit. Grizz, why don't you introduce Mark and from Bass Angler Magazine and see if there's anything interesting that we should know about this time of the year.
Sure, I'll be more happy to, John. Mark, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing great. And you guys?
Oh, we're doing good. Down here, the weather's like 85 degrees. It's just wonderful. There's a question that a lot of people have been asking me, and who but the best guy in the world to answer the question would be you, Mark. I know that you write about it. I know it comes out in your magazine, which, incidentally, your magazine is really kicking butt all over the United States, and hopefully real soon we'll get them down here in Mexico, too. But the question is, let's get it right from the horse's mouth. What does pre-spawning mean in largemouth bass?
Okay. What that means, it means that the fish are moving from their winter haunts and they're feeding up so they can make it through the spawn. So that's, the snapshot scenario of it. So what happens is that, you know, throughout the year, the fish go through their different stages, and in the winter, generally, they're out in the main lake areas, out on the points, out in deeper water, out there feeding on shad and so on so forth. And then as the water starts to warm up, these fish move up onto flat and more precisely, the edges of the flats. So to find these pre-spawn fish, whether it's in Mexico, California, Florida, Texas, Missouri, or wherever you might be, you want to go to a lake and you want to look for flats. Flat, and then the flat, look for the area that is adjacent to the deep water. So you're going to have a big flat, and that's where those fish go up, and they go up and spawn. And those little deep water areas, adjacent areas, especially if it flows into a creek or a little canal or something, that's where those fish will stage. So that's like the pre-spawn area. We call it staging. It's like an area that's right next to the deep water, right by the flat. There's usually plenty of food there. The bait fish come along there, and the crawfish and whatever else, you know, fish will eat. So they're like around those deep water areas on the flat. So, and one thing that you want to keep in mind in the pre-spawn is that a lot of the fish will be eating crawfish. Crawfish, like lobster and crab, have a lot of protein. So that helps them go through that couple-week cycle of when they're not eating and they're up there spawning. So you want to throw baits that imitate crawfish. Crankbaits, spinnerbaits work good. Maybe some red, black colors work good. Jigs, worms, any of your slow-moving baits that are generally close to the bottom will imitate a crawfish and get a good chance of catching a really big fish that time of year. So, you know, pre-spawn is when the biggest girls in the lake move up and it's your opportunity to catch them. So that's usually the only time of the year you maybe could catch one that is 15 to 20 pounds.
Oh, okay. Hey, Mark, now Grizz is down in La Paz and he goes bass fishing in mainland Mexico. And you're, of course, you're a little bit farther north than that. But as far as this time of the year, is there a difference between, you know, the northern United States or the south or the southwest? Does it kind of follow the same pattern?
There's a huge, huge difference, and it basically depends on the water temperature. When the water hits, I'm going to say, you know, low 50s, 50 to 55 degrees is when those fish are moving up. So, you know, if you're down in Mexico, maybe it doesn't even get that cold down there, but, you know, it's going to happen in late December, early January down in Mexico. Same thing in Florida, a little bit later in Texas, and then in California, like Southern California, it's going to happen sooner. It could happen around February there. Up in Northern California, you know, the middle of the state, it's going to happen around March. Upper, and you get up into Oregon, Washington, it's going to happen in May and June. So then, you know, if you look at upstate New York, across the top of the country, it's going to be probably really late May and early to mid-June around that time, around that area. So you have about, you know, if you wanted to travel and go fish pre-spawn fish, I mean, you could start in December down to Mexico, travel to Florida, move over to Texas, Southern California, Northern California, and travel across the top of the country, and you could fish about 7 months of the year for these big, giant fish.
Good idea to me, Chris.
It's getting time. because it starts, like you said, about the middle of December down in El Salto, and it's that's when the pre-spawn starts. So it's getting time to go after those big girls, those hogs.
You know, the guys, the people out in the Midwest and, the colder areas, I mean, that's just such a perfect time to go down to Mexico where it's just freezing cold everywhere and just beautiful down where you're. I think, it's probably 80 every single day down there.
85 today.
Yeah, beautiful.
Grizz, you're in La Paz, so when you say 85, is that the water temperature, the ambient temperature, or
water
both?
Water temperature is 86.
I'm sorry?
The air temperature is 85 right now.
And the water temperature is?
86.
Okay.
But, I mean, if you go out to the Bajo, it's probably 78.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're going to definitely, we're going to have to put some... some freshwater trips together in Mexico for this next year coming up, and maybe we can get Mark to help us do that.
Well, he's the man.
Nice.
Mark, if you were going to go fishing, if you wanted to go fishing south of the border, where would you want to go?
Oh, El Salto's good. I know I've been to Cachia. Cachia is the only one I've been to, but I've heard about a lot of the other ones. I've heard a lot about El Salto, and then there's a couple other ones that escape me at the second.
Yeah, well, there's Marteos. That's real good. Cochillo right now is not producing big fish. Pull a 9-pounder is going to really be pulling a monster out of there. And then you go over to Vicente Guerrero. I mean, my biggest one over there is 16¾-pound. But El Salto... is El Salto.
Oh, Grizz, I'm sorry. And Mark, we're going to have to cut you guys off because we're going to go to Tawny at Diamond Valley Lake, and we might even be talking about some bigmouth bass, and I'm sure that actually we might want to even keep Mark on the line because he may know something about it. But why don't
Diamond
we go...
Diamond Valley's heard is a good place.
There, okay. Why don't we go ahead and see if we can punch up Tawny from Diamond Valley Lake and give us an idea what's happening this time of the year.
Hi. We have been stocking trout every week, 1,000 pounds from Mount Lassen.
1,000 pounds a week?
Yes.
Wow.
And fishing has been very good because of it.
Can you please speak up? I haven't a clue what you're talking about. You have such a sweet, tiny voice.
I know. Sorry. I don't have a loud voice.
And I'm all the way down here in Mexico.
Yeah, we've been stocking trout, lots of trout lately, and it's been helping the fish out a lot.
Now, when you're stocking trout, is that helping to feed the largemouth bass?
No, it's actually feeding the striper bass.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but we this year are stocking the bigger trout. We asked for bigger trout so that the stripers wouldn't snatch them all up.
Yeah. Well, that Diamond Valley Lake is really a treasure. It's only about 10 years old, and it was designed as a water reservoir, but when they built the lake, they actually specifically designed it to be a fishery.
Yes, exactly.
So they've got they left the structure, and then they've stocked it, and they kept it closed for a couple of years to let the fish grow up.
Been very good fishing, and probably because of their design.
Okay. Well, and you got in Diamond Valley, you do have stripers. And Mark, I know you're a bass angler, but do stripers kind of fall into your venue?
Well, at times we fish for them. When we're not fishing competitively, they're a lot of fun to catch. When you're fishing a tournament, they're not so fun because they don't count. They're wrong color. But stripers are a lot of fun, especially when they stock, when they're stalking a trout, that's when you can get the stripers are usually pretty easy to catch. And also you can catch some really giant largemouth when they're stalking the bass, too.
Mm-hmm.
Those largemouth usually hang down below the stripers. So if you're throwing a big trout swim bait, which really works there in Diamond Valley, you just need to let it run down below the stripers, and that's where you're going to get your big largemouth.
Well, Mark, I don't want to get political, and I know how Grizz feels about catch and release, but largemouth bass, you never kill them. because they're just for sport fishing. But stripers, they taste so good. It's kind of hard to let them go.
Yeah, they are very good, especially when they're big.
So, but, and, you know, in Diamond Valley, that is, you know, one of the premier lakes in, I guess it's kind of Southern California, would be the best way to describe it. So,
yeah.
And this is time of the year, if you're going to be cruising around and, you know, on vacation or holidays and you got a motorhome or you're just wanting for a place to stay, Diamond Valley and the area around it is absolutely beautiful. So if somebody wants to get in touch with Tawny at Diamond Valley Lake, give us a quick report.
All right, phone number is 951-926-7201. We're open every day of the week.
Thank you, Tawny. You did fantastic. Thanks for your help. Okay, you're listening to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio with the Grizz. And Mark, thank you for coming and joining us today. And Grizz, we're going to be back up and wrap it up. Mark, we appreciate that.